Hello, everyone. I'm so happy to be here with all of you today. But to be honest, when Margaret first asked me if I would speak today, I immediately thought that she had the wrong person. I normally play the part of the listener and not the speaker. I leave that up to my boyfriend, Ray David Gwen. He seems to do a pretty good job at it. I'm actually terrified of speaking. It's almost worse than singing in public. And for those who have had the misfortune of sitting beside me or behind me or in front of me, know that I can't string two notes together in tune. So when she asked me, my immediate reaction was to politely decline. But when my friend Margaret asked me to pray about it, I knew that I owed her just that. So, like many of you women in this room, I went straight to his word. In prayer, I thought that he would provide me the answer, preferably the one that said, "You're not the one." I opened up my Bible, and I heard nothing. Nothing. Not one piece of scripture jumped out at those pages at me. Not one. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever experienced praying for something so hard and not receiving an answer? It's terrifying. So I did what the good Lord has instructed us all to do in times of that, and I went to godly counsel. I went to a woman who loves the Lord with all of her heart and who was instrumental in my journey with Christ, and I told her my predicament. And do you know what she told me? That's right. She told me that I was the one. She told me that all I needed to open up my mouth and say, yes. She then went on to tell me that it actually wasn't about me. That it was all about him and for his glory. And we are just honored to be included in on the ride when he asks us to be his ambassadors. And that's when it hit me. That is exactly what it's all about. That is why we were all put on this earth, to be his hands and feet, to be his heart, to make him famous. The next thing I did was contact Margaret, and I told her that I would be honored to share today. I still let her know that I was extremely nervous, but I was confident that God would fill my mouth just as he did Moses's. So thank you, Margaret. Thank you for asking me here. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for pushing me, because I definitely needed that nudge. So before we dive in and talk about how we can all be called to represent Jesus, I think it's really important that you learn a little about me and about my journey to Christ. I was born in Chatham, Ontario, and brought up in a little farming community called Pancor. Like many of you, my family attended church every Sunday. I was raised by a single mom from the day I was born to the age of 9. I actually had never met my dad before, but that is another story for another day. And I can remember a bus picking me up every single Sunday and taking me to a local Lutheran church where I attended Sunday school. So it wasn't like nowadays where we all come to church together as a family and we join in worship and then the kids are excused and they go off to Sunday school. I remember it being completely segregated until church was done, that is. But there I learned about a man named Jesus who loved me. I learned my first Bible stories and even my first worship songs like Jesus Loves Me and He Has the Whole World in His Hands. But other than Sunday morning, I don't ever recall the words Christ or Lord or God mentioned in my household 6 days of the week leading up to the Sabbath. We never prayed together. We never shared in His glory and thanked God for His goodness. We never prayed for meals. I may have been taught in Sunday school to run into His arms in times of trouble, but that wasn't an example that was practiced in my household. When I was 9, my mother married a man. He was a good man, a man who loved me like his own daughter and brought 2 young daughters of his own. And we moved from Chatham to Barrie, Ontario. Well, he was Catholic, and in order for my mother to get married, she needed to convert to Catholicism. So she did just that, and I started to attend a Catholic school. And in order for me to attend, I actually had to go to weekly classes. I had to learn about the Catholic faith, where I learned my formal prayers, and I am thankful for that. And I participated in sacraments like baptism and reconciliation and First Communion. And as I moved on to grade 8, my class and I shared in confirmation, and I attended a Catholic high school. Pretty typical to most families, I'd say. From the outside, that is. What many don't talk about is what happens behind closed doors. I won't go into the details today, but let's just say that my childhood wasn't the most pleasant. For good reasons, I left my family home in my early teens. I struggled with abandonment issues. I had low self-esteem. I experienced guilt and shame, and I had a heart full of resentment. I had problems forming healthy relationships. I lied to myself and to others. I desperately wanted to feel loved and to be loved and accepted. And I looked for it in all the wrong places. I made mistakes, a lot of mistakes. I tried to mask my hurt and brokenness and fill it with things that actually made me emptier. As I was doing this, I did meet people along the way that were good to me, people that shared the heart of Jesus, that took me in as a teenager into their homes and encouraged me to go to university. I knew that deep down something, someone had a grip on me, but it wasn't till much, much later that I knew that that was God. At McMaster University, I attended a church at the John, which is now called Lift Church. Every Sunday, you know, I went through those motions like I was brought up to do. But I still continued to make the same mistakes, hoping to connect with someone that made me feel special, that made me feel loved. But that never happened. I later learned that it never happened because A, I didn't love myself, and B, I actually didn't know what love was until I let the love of the Holy Spirit and the Lord our Savior into my heart. It was only then that I learned that His love was enough, when I stopped searching in all the wrong places. When I was 23, I became pregnant. I remember finding out and going into complete denial. What was I ever going to do? I wasn't prepared to be a mom. I could hardly take care of myself. I, at the time, worked at a nightclub, and back then it was filled with smoke. And so I knew that if I were to keep this child, that I would need to quit my job. So where was that money going to come from? I actually remember calling out to God and asking him, "Really? Really? This is your best for me?" As it turns out, sometimes God chooses the most unlikely methods to accomplish his purpose. And on September 17th, I was given one of my greatest blessings. The moment I held my daughter for the first time in my arms, my heart changed. I didn't even know that it was possible to love someone that much. And as I looked into her eyes, I made a promise. I made a promise that I would do better. If not for myself, but for her. I tried to be a good mom. I loved her. I provided for her. I protected her like a mother should do. But something was still missing. I wasn't out looking for love the way that I once was, but I did realize that her love wasn't enough either, despite how much I loved her and how much she loved me. I still felt empty, and I still felt alone. When she was 2, I packed up our things from Hamilton, just the 2 of us, and we moved to Waterdown to the apartments on John Street. I put her in dance classes. I went to Mom and Me programs at the Early Childhood Center. I met other moms in the area. I tried really, really, really hard to be happy. But I still felt broken. And then it happened. I was sitting on the couch one day, flipping through the local Flamborough Review for something to do with Kennedy, something that was affordable in the community, and it popped out at me. An ad for a local church. In this ad, it said that they served free pancakes before the service. Hello, single mom? I didn't have to make breakfast? I'm in. So, I gave it a shot. And that's where it began. That is where my daughter Kennedy and I met Jesus. And that is when our lives began to change. That's where, for the very first time ever, despite me going to church my entire life, I learned that I could have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that his love endures all. And that his love would be the only love that could ever fill my heart and heal my brokenness. I also learned that easy times make you spiritually indifferent, but tough times make you spiritually dependent. And that's exactly what God wants. God wants us to be completely and utterly dependent on him. Now, my life didn't become free of trouble or easy the moment I walked through those church doors. But I did learn that I did not have to go through them alone. He would never, ever abandon me. Building a relationship with my Savior taught me that life is not always easy, but there is meaning and there is purpose. And that even in our troubles, we need to rejoice and trust in our God and trust in His plan for us. I could stand here before you all and tell you all about the miracles I've encountered since handing my life over to God. Personal miracles of my daughter's health, how she was healed completely at a prayer service after almost losing her. Stories of my own healing, how I learned to forgive and let go of that resentment that I was holding so tightly onto. The discovery of God's grace and ultimate goodness. How He, through prayer, even introduced me to the man of my dreams. A godly man who loves the Lord above all else and has shown me what a healthy, loving relationship looks like. A relationship that can only be had if God is at the center of it. I could stand here and share stories of hope and comfort and compassion that came from hurt and brokenness and tragedy, all because of Jesus, as a result of investing in a relationship with Him. But instead, I want to share with you my very first lesson as a Christian. It's a simple one, but it is of utmost importance. Here it is. Listen closely. It is impossible to have a relationship with Jesus without having a relationship with His people. It was not the free pancakes or the magical church building or even my own desire to want something better that led me to Christ. It was His people. It was the women who reached out and befriended me, who loved me despite my sin, who opened their doors and hearts to my daughter Kennedy and I and accepted us into their homes and into their families, who gave me my first Bible, who invited me to Bible study, who took care of my daughter and I when we were sick, and who sat by my bedside holding my hand as my daughter was in the hospital. The women who came to clean my home and saw that Kennedy and I shared one bed and took it upon themselves to come in and furnish that little apartment and make it into a loving, welcoming, warm home. It was the people that dropped off groceries, fresh groceries, at my doorstep when $12 an hour only got you pasta and canned vegetables. It was the youth in the kids' church that took Kennedy and looked after her as I learned more about the Lord. It was those people that welcomed us both and hugged us as we walked into church. It was the pastor that taught me that I was one of God's greatest treasures. I came to Christ because His people showed me His love through their own actions and affections. It was His people who opened up their hearts and allowed Christ to work through them. Just as it is our responsibility in this room to do and what we're called to do. No matter your age, no matter your background, we have the same responsibility to be Christ-like, to be His body, to showcase His heart, and to get involved. This is a beautiful church. And St. George's is blessed to have this building. And I know that God is going to use this building for His goodness. But the reality is, this is just a building. You are church. His people our church. You are the ones that are going to change lives, not this building. So whether you celebrate Jesus here on Sundays or somewhere else, remember your responsibility as a Christian. Ray David just finished a sermon on a church that matters. In fact, Margaret shared our intro video with you that speaks exactly to that. But I'm going to let you in on a little secret. It doesn't happen if you sit on the sidelines. It doesn't work if you attend church only as an observer. It just doesn't work. It is impossible to have a relationship with Jesus without having a relationship with his people. You need to get involved. I know that it's hard for some. I know that it goes beyond some people's comfort level. I even know from personal experience that you may feel unworthy, that you may question how God could use you in your brokenness to showcase his love and his goodness. But I'm telling you, if you're willing and if you allow it to happen, Jesus will not only change the lives of others, he will change yours. He will change yours. It's that simple. As my involvement grew in the church, I attended, my faith grew, my trust in God grew, my relationships became stronger, I developed a true, genuine love for our Lord and his people, but only through serving them both. It was not easy. It is not easy. You have to sacrifice your time, rearrange your priorities, do things out of your comfort level that he is calling you to do. But at the end of the day, I knew by his example that is exactly what we are all called to do. That is what makes us Christians. A, to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and B, to showcase his love to one another. And guess what? No one is exempt of the latter. As you can probably tell, I loved my old church. The people in that church became my family. But when I met Ray David, I loved him more. And I knew in my heart that I was called to attend St. George's. But it wasn't easy. And it wasn't easy for Kennedy either. But the first thing I told her was to get involved when she came to me and said that she was struggling with moving to a new church. I told her that the only way she was going to grow in relationship with Jesus is to serve. So she did. She started to volunteer in the kids' church with the 4 to 6 year olds. And do you know what happened? She felt a part of something greater. Do you know what else happened? She developed relationships, not just with those kids now that she was mentoring, but with the adults who were teaching Sunday school, particularly Angela Hunt, who Kennedy has grown to love and admire, and who, as a mom, I feel incredibly blessed that she is speaking into her. So, you see, it doesn't matter how old you are or how you are called to serve. What matters is that we are obedient to that calling. Whether it's serving coffee or tea after the service or handing out leaflets before church or becoming a part of the worship band, welcoming people at the door, preparing the communion table, investing in our children in nursery, praying on the prayer committee, starting a mom's group midweek, inviting someone after church into your home for lunch, putting your arm around the person next to you that is weeping during the service, inviting someone into your Bible study and sharing His word, offering to fold someone's laundry or tidy their home when you know that their hands are full. That's what it means to be a church that matters. That's how we not only lead people to the Lord, but we grow in relationship with Him ourselves. So the question is this: how are you going to get involved if you're not already? Or what new things can you do now? What are the ways that you can actively contribute to your churches? What gifts has God given you to use to lead people to Christ while growing in your own faith? Room. So earlier this morning, we discussed how to become a church that matters and the importance of being involved in our own churches. Why? Because we learned that it's impossible to have a relationship with Jesus unless we have a relationship with His people. Now, I want to take that one step further. How, as the body of Christ, do we do that beyond our church walls? What can we do to showcase His love to those that are not Christians or may not even be seeking something beyond their own understanding? I will share my second little secret with you. There isn't one particular way of doing this, but there is only one answer, and that is to become the hands and feet of Christ to those that are unlovable, to reach out to those that are lost, lonely, broken, forgotten. It may be your grouchy neighbor. It may be the kid in your school or on your street that nobody wants to play with. It may be the new family that just moved across the street from a different country and don't share our beliefs. It may mean going downtown Hamilton or Toronto and taking a seat on a bench by a homeless man and purchasing a coffee for him and just talking about the weather. It may be offering your babysitting services to a family or a parent who needs some alone time that can't afford it. It may mean baking a couple of pies and dropping them off at the nearest shelter. It may even be as simple as walking the mall and after making a purchase, telling that cashier that their smile made their day and that they are appreciated. It can be a number of things. The sky is the limit, and no task is too small or too great. It doesn't have to involve money, but it does have to involve your time. And it does have to involve amount of risk and faith. Because there may be consequences of hurt and rejection when the person that you're reaching out to doesn't want to accept what you're offering. Some of you know that I have a real passion for the street workers downtown Hamilton. I started going downtown Hamilton on the corner of Sherman and Barton with my ladies' small group about 4 to 5 years ago. We prayed together as a group, and we asked God to use us and show us a group of ladies that need to be shown unconditional love. And in God's perfect fashion, He spoke to each of us clearly. He said that we needed to go downtown Hamilton and love on the prostitutes there. We were all scared the first time, but we never questioned it. Why? because if we knew it was God's calling and God's will, it would be fine. He would lead us, he would protect us, and he would take care of the rest. Now, we didn't just jump off our couches and go downtown Hamilton. That would be silly. No, we needed to get our hearts in the right place. So there was much thought and preparation and a lot of prayer. We knew that this was something that we had to prepare our hearts for many reasons. One, these women may not want our help. Two, many of these women are on drugs, and we don't know how they're going to react to our help. Three, Satan has a very tight hold on these women. So we needed to protect our own hearts from that spiritual warfare. And four, we may get discouraged if we were willing to do all of this work and they didn't want to invest in the relationship back. Our first step was to connect with someone that they trusted. We couldn't just go down there and expect them to, listen to perfect strangers. So we prayed, and God introduced us to a woman who is wonderful, a woman who once worked the streets herself, a woman named Mare. And she now works at the Boys and Girls Club in the inner city of Hamilton. But she was excited when we went to her, and she told us where we could find these women, and even offered to help guide us there and be that connection. So when we went to her and we talked to her about how we wanted to throw this amazing spa day, we were going to bring all of these prostitutes into our church and, do their hands do their nails and give them pedicures and love on them and pamper them. She's like, it's never going to work. It's never going to work. First day, how were they ever going to get to our church? And B, they just wouldn't come. We were so discouraged. So once again, we took it to the Lord in prayer. We went downtown to where Mayor actually told us that we could find these women, and we prayed. We prayed hard. We prayed silently, we prayed out loud, and we prayed together. We asked God how. We asked God where. And because it was his calling and his will, he answered. He told us in that moment of prayer to look up. We looked up. And right across the street from this building where these prostitutes live, there is a house. And that house had a sign on it, a lease sign with a phone number. So, with God, instructing us, we called that phone number, and we asked the person if we could rent the house for one day. Well, he did ask that question, why? So we told him that we wanted to love on the women across the street. We told him that we wanted to change that house into a spa and a retreat that they could go and that they knew they were safe, where we would love on them and serve them. And do you know what he said? He said yes. He also told us that we could have it for free. Do you know why? Because he told us that he once was addicted to drugs as well. And it wasn't until he was saved that he was freed from that addiction. Isn't God amazing? So we planned a day, and we made flyers, and we put them all along Barton Street. We went to the house early. We cleaned that house. We scrubbed the floors and washed the walls, and we made it beautiful. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that area downtown Hamilton, but it's grungy, and it's a little bit scary, and it was a lot out of our comfort zone. But the day before, we had prepared a feast, and we were ready. We were ready. We were prepared to wash their hands and wash their feet, just as Jesus did on the Last Supper. And we were so excited. We had candles out and worship music playing, and you could feel the Holy Spirit just as you could feel it here this morning. That day was a great day. 14 women came out. 14 women came to that house not knowing what they were going to get into. We washed their hands and dirty fingernails as they fell asleep because half of them were on meth. We took their socks off and washed their feet. We washed their dirty hair in the sink, and we cleansed them. And we loved them just as Jesus loves us. We filled their bellies, and we even gave them each gifts, baskets that we had filled with toiletries that we just wanted to bless them with. And they were amazed. They asked, "Why? Why?" And we told them. We told them about Jesus. We also told them that we would be back. And we were. And do you know what happened? They didn't come. They didn't come. Not one. Not one of them showed. This time we had made a huge dinner, decorated the place, you know, made sure everything was perfect, including the napkins, just as the amazing lady have done today for all of us. We wanted to be perfect, and not one of them showed. We were so discouraged. So what did we do? We prayed. Do you know what God told us to do? He told us to go to the dollar store and get takeout containers and bring the food to them. Not our plan, but his. So we did just that. We packaged it all up, and we had 20 huge dinners. And we put them, you know, in our car and brought it over to the building. And just as we were opening up that door, one of the women came out of their apartment. And she was stunned to see us. And we told her that we had a dinner for her, a hot dinner. And she was so thankful. And she ripped open those containers and started eating that food with her hands. Then do you know what she did? She helped us. She knocked on every door in that building, and we were able to provide every single person, every single door, a hot meal. Not what we expected, but it worked out perfect. Well, we went there, still go there every month. We have built relationships. We sometimes bring them groceries. We have purchased fans in the summer because it's very, very hot. There's a number of ways that we have shown our love to these women, shown Jesus's love to them. And do you know what? I haven't seen one woman be saved. In all the time that I have gone down there, not one. They have our phone numbers, so we often take them to doctor's appointments. We have sat in the hospital as some of them have overdosed, but not one of them has found Jesus yet. 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 Because guess what? It is our responsibility to be Jesus to them. So it doesn't matter how long it takes. It's all his plan. We can never underestimate that plan, can we? It's all in His perfect timing. Now, I'm not telling you that you have to run downtown Hamilton and serve the prostitutes, but I'm telling you each, regardless of age, that you have a responsibility as a Christian to love thy neighbor as thyself. And that means stepping outside of your comfort zone and reaching out to those that God has placed on your heart. You know that little tug? You've all experienced it. Sometimes we follow and are obedient, and sometimes we ignore it. I know I've ignored it when you're embarrassed and afraid. But that's what we're here to do. And it could just mean looking outside your own door. A friend of mine, who actually I cherish for a reason she doesn't even know, who attends St. George's, recently felt the calling to reach out to the moms of Alton Village here. She is a young, beautiful mother herself and is a blessing to everyone that knows her. Her name is Jessica. She is part of our worship band and shared today for all of us. She is an active member of St. George's. She attends my small group and is looked up to by so many, especially the youth. They all love her and admire her. Her husband, Mark, and daughter, Daisy, are instrumental in our church. I remember when she first told me that she had a heart for the women of Alton Village. I could feel the passion, and she didn't even know them yet. So before long, she went on social media, and she became a member of the mom's group. And she invited them to the Mom and Tots group we hold here on Wednesday mornings. She also sat at the park and was committed to meeting new people. And it wasn't long before she thought of a way that she could bring more moms together. She reached out to another member of our church for his assistance and soon started advertising a baby CPR class for anyone who wanted to learn. Well, that day was a huge success. 50 women or more showed up, and it was great. They learned infant CPR, met other moms in the areas, and were ultimately introduced to church. In fact, I will tell you a little story. One of those moms, who never attended St. George's before that day, came a couple of days after, and she's having her baby baptized here tomorrow. She actually said that she felt so welcomed by Jessica and by everybody else that she knew that she needed to baptize her baby here at St. George's. It's pretty amazing, huh? But do you know what's more amazing? To witness what Jessica's obedience to God's calling to her has done to her heart. Obedience to God not only proves our love for Him, but it demonstrates our faithfulness and glorifies Him. In this world, and opens up avenues and venues that are in we can't even imagine for others as well as ourselves. We may intend to reach out to someone and share God's heart only to bless them. But when you sacrifice your own flesh to make Jesus famous, both parties win. If you truly reach out and be the hands and feet of Christ with good intent and no expectations, you will never lose. Last year, leading up to Thanksgiving, my daughter Kennedy came to Ray, David, and I and told us that God very clearly told her to go downtown Hamilton and hand out flowers on Thanksgiving. Well, I thought that was the silliest thing I'd ever heard. I giggled, and I questioned she heard him properly and asked if she had cleaned her ears lately. She then responded, "Mummy, I know what he told me to do, and I have to listen." Ray David probed a little bit more and asked her to explain exactly what it was that she had in mind. She said that God placed it on her heart to go downtown Hamilton and hand out Gerber daisies. Not roses, not daffodils, Gerber daisies. To anyone and everyone that looked like they needed a smile. She continued to tell us that we are so blessed and that if it meant just for a moment that we could bring a smile to someone else, that's what we were intended to do. Along with the Gerber daisies, she wanted to write handwritten notes with God's message on it. And then stick a $5 Tim Hortons card in the envelope as a little surprise. She told us that she was going to take care of it all on her own with money that she had saved up babysitting and been given for birthdays and Christmases. She was confident that because God placed this on her heart, that he would provide. So, after listening to her very thought-out plan, Ray David said, "Sure, I'll take you." That's when she told us the twist. "No, no, 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 no," she said. "You can't just take me. God told me I need to take you." It was very clear to her that all four of us, myself, Ray David, and Matthew, needed to take on this task together as a family. So, on Thanksgiving, we did exactly that. After Kennedy had written all of the cards and stuffed them and sealed them with love, we headed downtown Hamilton and we gave out those flowers. And do you know what happened? Happiness. Happiness happened. Not just to those that were recipients of the flowers, but to us. And as we drove away that day down King Street, and we saw dozens of people holding their little Gerber daisies with huge smiles on their face, that was amazing. And they hadn't even opened their cards yet. That was a Thanksgiving that we would never forget. Well, believe it or not, some women heard about Kennedy's Gerber Daisy mission and were impressed with her obedience. And last May, they asked her to speak at a women's conference. They wanted her to be a part of their retreat, where she would share her heart and tell them about God's request for her. And that afternoon, she led a whole bus full of women downtown Hamilton to hand out Gerber daisies with handwritten letters and Tim Hortons gift cards. And she prayed. She led them in prayer and she told them all to listen very intently, because God was going to lead them to exactly who needed them most. Well, I purposely didn't get involved in that day. This was her thing, and I knew that if God's, with God's guidance, that everything was under control. But I did watch from afar, like any mother would. I just can't let go. And do you know what happens? For the very first time ever, I witness my baby girl praying for a perfect stranger. Praying for a perfect stranger. How courageous. Well, that wasn't her, that was God. Do you know what I learned through all of this? No matter how silly we may think God's ask of us is, we should never underestimate his plan. It's all for his glory. Well, Thanksgiving just passed. And again, for the second year in a row, the four of us went downtown Hamilton, and with God's goodness to us, we were able to double the amount of Gerber daisies that we handed out this year. There was another little twist. Instead of handwriting all the cards herself, she said it was very important that the four of us did that together. And that we really listen to exactly what God was placing on our hearts so it would be the perfect message for the perfect individual. And we looked through the Bible and came up with many verses. And it was awesome to do that together. So thank you, Kennedy. And again, last Monday was another glorious Gerber Daisy Day. And at dinner, we all relished in the experiences that we shared with one another. And some tears were shed, tears of thankfulness in full hearts. And, you know, those faces on those individuals that we handed those flowers to were priceless. And we actually can't wait until next year. So it just goes to show you, regardless of age, regardless of what we've done in our past, where we come from, where our journey with Christ is at, when you're open to listening and obeying God's place, what God places on your heart, all you have to do is open your mouth and say yes. He will do the rest of the work. Why? Because God is good. Who loves us and who has called us his people to represent him. To be his hands and feet. To showcase his heart. Both inside and outside of church. Why? To make his famous, to make him glorified. And we are just blessed to be included in on the ride. So listen carefully and be obedient.